Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Bankus, and I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Tune in here every week, usually at 3 p.m. Central Time, a little bit later today, or listen archived by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio. We're also trying to figure out how to make the YouTube thing work, and we're actually live streaming in my Facebook group as well for the business, so for Momentum. So you can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com and look for us, Momentum Fitness and Health, on Facebook. So we try to be everywhere so we can get you lots and lots of information. So just like the basics of nutrition, we tend to blame illness on one single thing. So let's look at nutrition. First, fat was making us fat. Then carbs were making us fat. But well, now we found it's a combination of both. Now the same thing happens or has been happening with chemicals that are tested in the labs by their manufacturers. Only one pollutant or known carcinogen is tested at a time, and it may only have a small effect on our health. But what happens when we consume a little bit of each pollutant or carcinogen? What happens? We don't know because, as far as we know, it just isn't done that way. It's not tested that way. So this can be a huge detriment to your health, and science is failing to tell us these things. Now, how do I know this? Well, I've talked to scientists. I've talked to friends of mine who work in the science field here at UIC in Chicago as well as up in Madison, and I've been told that only one toxin is ever tested at a time. But are we only consuming one chemical per day? Or are we being inundated with multiple chemicals daily? Many major chemical companies test their products alone and report back to the FDA or the EPA, and they get the GRAS label. That means generally regarded as safe. And we're told it's okay to consume it in small quantities, and that might be true. But what would happen if you were served a mixture of chlorine, bleach, aluminum, mercury, pesticides, all of these have a GRAS level, and then finished it off with a nice glass of water that has a high lead content? Would you drink that? Why not? Why isn't science studying how all of these chemicals work together against our health? Well, I'll tell you when we get to the end. But here are a list of some of the toxins that we are dealing with daily and where they're coming from. Cigarette smoke has benzene, lead, arsenic, and acetone in it. Auto exhaust has benzene, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde. VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, found in paints, strippers, adhesives, and cleaning products. Mercury, which is a heavy metal, and it's poisonous to your nervous system. It's found in fish because a lot of the nuclear reactors and stuff melting down doesn't help us any. Some vaccines, not going to get into that today. Pesticides on produce, and then they're emitted by coal plants and trash incinerators. Cadmium, batteries, plastic, insecticides, lead, paint from dust, paint, soil, water. Look at flint. Old pipes, old homes built before 1978. Aluminum, in antiperspirants, some cookware, antacids, skin creams, dandruff shampoo, that's just to name a few. Excitotoxins, which are food additives that overstimulate the brain, such as aspartame, saccharin, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which is another fun way of saying MSG, in processed foods and frozen dinners. Again, MSG by itself, which is monosodium glutamate. Alcohol, overindulgence depletes protective glutathione and can lead to liver disease. See where I'm going with this? Pesticides, herbicides used in growing food and in yard care. Carcinogens such as dioxin, radiation, asbestos, vinyl chloride to make plastics. Formaldehyde, which is a preservative. It's used in toners, paints, building materials. Chlorine and chloroform, which is released in a hot shower. Yeah, there's chloroform in your hot shower. Acetaminophen, which is a non-aspirin pain reliever, we know, reduces levels of protective antioxidant glutathione. Household cleaners, acetone, benzenes, radiation from microwaves, x-rays, ultraviolet radiation, even from our own sun. EMF, electromagnetic fields that damage nerve cells, comes from cell phones, electric blankets, computers, TV screens. And there are many, many, many more. This isn't even the end of the list. There's a bunch of stuff that I don't even know how to pronounce. But we're getting all these different toxins and all these different chemicals into our body, from the water that we drink to the air that we breathe and the food that we eat, and this all gets into our body. There are over 200 pollutants in our water alone, and that includes the unused medications that people are flushing. Now, our bodies do have a great ability to filter out pollutants. They do. That's what our liver and our kidneys are there for. And our water filtration plants do some of this as well. But when there's an overabundance of pollutants, things are going to slip through and make us sick. Now, to what extent, I can't say. But you will notice the more chemicalized our world becomes, the sicker our population becomes. Now, when I was doing my research, I did manage to find a study done on multiple pollutants on salmon from the National Institute of Health. So here's what I found. They're objective. They assessed whether chemicals in a mixture act in isolation, resulting in ACE inhibition, or whether components interact to produce either antagonistic or synergistic toxicity. Their method, they measured the brain ACE inhibition in juvenile coho salmon, and then exposed them to sublethal, that's our GRAS, or generally regarded as safe, concentrations of 3 organophosphates, as well as a couple of carbamates, and the concentrations of individual chemicals were normalized to their respective median effective concentrations and collectively fit to a nonlinear regression. So what does this mean? Well, they use this curve to determine whether toxicologic responses to binary mixtures were additive, antagonistic, or synergistic. So they wanted to find out if these things worked in synergy together to cause health issues for these fish. The results. Here's what they found out. They observed addition and synergism with a great degree of synergism of higher exposure concentrations. Several combinations of the organic phosphates were lethal at concentrations that were sublethal in single chemical trials. So this study actually did what I was talking about where I said science doesn't do it. They are doing it. We're just not getting the information. So their conclusion was that single chemical risk assessments are likely to underestimate the impact of these insecticides on salmon in the river systems where mixtures occur. Moreover, mixtures of pesticides that have been commonly reported in salmon habitats may pose a more important challenge for species recovery than previously anticipated. Bottom line, pesticides are chemical substances that are used to kill, repel, or regulate the growth of biological organisms. Newsflash, we are biological organisms. So why are we consuming this? Why are we putting this on our food and in our water? Mixtures of pesticides are commonly in the human food supply. This is from the National Research Council, so from 1993. This is how far back we're going. Pesticide mixtures are also common in the aquatic environment, including lakes, rivers, streams, and other surface waters that support aquatic life. Assessing the cumulative toxicity of pesticides in mixtures has therefore been an enduring challenge for environmental health research. So the research is being done. I was wrong when I first started writing this, my own research. I was wrong. They are doing this research. They're not reporting it to us because you wouldn't eat or drink anything. It would hurt a lot of companies. Where am I at here? Lost my spot. Sorry. So assessing the cumulative toxicity of pesticides in mixtures has been this enduring challenge for environmental health research, as well as ecotoxicology, for the past several decades. Now, in 1996, the U.S. Congress passed the Food Quality Protection Act, which directs the U.S. EPA to assess the human health risks from cumulative exposures to pesticides that share a common mechanism of action. So I was wrong. They do test for this. The FDA, the EPA, they're just not telling us, or the information is not just put out there. You have to go and find it because they're not making it very easy for the public. You have to actively seek it out. So when you seek out this information, people are going to accuse me of, well, being a scaremonger. No, I'm just telling you the truth first. It's out there. You just have to go look for it. Almost sounded like the X-Files over here. So some recent examples that I brought up are arsenic in food. Now they're saying that there's too much arsenic in rice formula for kids. I've come out against artificial sweeteners, and artificial sweeteners are being shown to have adverse health effects. And remember my show, What's Really in Your Water? What's Really in Your Water came out before the debacle in Flint, Michigan, and one of the things that I brought up was chloramide, that they're not using chlorine in your water. They're using a mixture of ammonia and chlorine because it will last longer in the water, and it'll keep the bad bacteria out. So, I mean, in a way, it is necessary, yes, but you need to filter that out when it comes into your home. But this chloramide is what was causing these pipes to rust and to basically just, you know, fall apart and for the lead to get in the water. So I told you so, I guess. Some of us get accused as being these scaremongers, but we're not. We're not scaremongers. We're just telling you the truth before anyone else does. So what can you do about this? Well, you may not be able to control the air that you breathe without wearing like a ventilation mask. If you really want to do that, you can. But you can control some of the toxins in your body by seeking out water filtration systems and researching your bottled water. I use a Berkey water system. I know other people that use, like my chiropractor, for example, uses a like 15-plate thing that just gets everything out of your water. But you can also go back, listen to my episode about what's in your water for some more tips on what you can do about your water, as well as what specifically is in your water. You can fix the food that you eat. Try to eat less processed food less processed food that have food additives. Stay away from your food dyes, which, by the way, as I've mentioned before, ship as a hazardous material. And a lot of your food additives as well. Local grown produce, if you can't go organic, usually has less chemical spray. And if you can, go organic where you can. Yes, organic is more expensive, but find a list of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, which you can find on EWG's website, and learn which produce you should always buy organic and which ones run less risk and you can get them non-organic. That list does change. The new 2016 one just came out either yesterday or today. I saw it posted somewhere. So go to Environmental Working Group or EWG.org, and you can find that list. Now, if you need help with any other nutrition or fitness-related issues, please come find us on Facebook. Look for Momentum Fitness and Health. We are rapidly approaching 1,000 likes, and you can also find us at findingyourmomentum.com. Now, next week, we should return to our 3 p.m. time slot, and we're going to be bringing you Do Runners and Walkers Need to Lift Weights? So until then, I hope that you find your momentum.